Let us continue our discourse, amen, as we move forward through our exposition, amen. We're somewhere on the downside of it now, maybe 80% through with it, that is, with our influence and our analysis and our convinces concerning the glorious body of Christ, the church. Amen. We've been on this, I know, for many, many, many months, and I just trust that no one is tired of it. Amen. You're in big time trouble if you're tired of where you're going to spend eternity. If you're tired of hearing about it. Amen. Hallelujah. The best thing going for you, the only thing, the only place of security. All right, Deacon Galvin is our designated reader. We're going to move expeditiously. The time is kind of moved ahead of us. We, amen, did start after the hour. I want everybody to keep that in mind when we get to the top of the hour. Amen. We will begin in, with our base scripture that we always read, which is our springboard. It's found in Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. Then we will move into the heart of our context in Colossians chapter 1. In verse 15 to 20, we had moved down through verse 19. Hopefully today we'll start in verse 20 and move on through. As I say, we are around 80% through the entire discourse at this point. All right. Everyone has Galatians chapter 3. Verse 26, amen. All right, read.
Galatians 3:26.
Mm-hmm.
For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus.
Isn't that a blessing? Keep reading.
For as many of you as have been baptized
have
into
been
Christ,
placed a position into Christ,
have put on Christ.
Amen.
There is neither Jew nor Greek.
Mm-hmm.
There is neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female,
mm-hmm.
for ye are all one in Christ Jesus.
In Christ Jesus. In Christu Iesu. That is, amen, the most glorious place that one can dwell. That,
yes.
Amen. That is the zenith of existing.
That's right.
In the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. All right. 29.
And if ye be Christ.
Those that are in Christ.
Then are ye Abraham's seed,
mm-hmm.
and heirs according to promise.
Go back to 14. You'll see from that and he speaks of the blessing of Abraham. He's not talking about the Abrahamic covenant.
No, it's not.
I'm talking about the covenant of promise God gave Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. Amen. He is speaking about the promise of the Spirit through faith, which he speaks about in the 14th verse that we have received. So he is speaking about the promise according to the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Well, Deacon, you know where to go, to the 15th verse. Let's read the entire context down through the 20th verse, then hopefully we can start in verse 20 this morning, not get sidetracked on. We have gone through these other verses. Amen. Of course, we move as the Spirit, amen, leads.
Yes.
All right? Everybody got the 15th verse of the first chapter of Colossians. Amen. All right, read.
Colossians 1:15. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature?
Mm-hmm.
For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible,
mm-hmm.
whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him.
Talking about who?
Jesus.
Keep reading.
And he is before all things, and by him all things consist.
Who is he in him?
Jesus.
Referring to Jesus. Verse 18.
And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all he might have the preeminence.
Who is the head of the body?
Jesus.
Amen. All right. Verse 19.
For it pleased God, or him.
It pleased him. Who is him?
Jesus.
Jesus. Amen. So all of the verses there pointing to Jesus. This is why we were bold enough to ask those who are going to follow the discourse to either circle or scratch through that which is italicized, the Father, because mm-hmm. it doesn't belong there.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Mm-hmm. There's nothing in any of the manuscripts to underline it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Verse 19 again. So it pleased who?
For it pleased him.
It pleased Jesus.
That in him mm-hmm. should all fullness dwell.
Uh-huh.
And having made peace through the blood of his cross,
mm-hmm.
by him to reconcile all things unto himself. Amen. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven.
Everything in that context is talking about who?
Jesus.
Amen. And of course, no one has taken anything away from God because what? Jesus is God. Amen. As we open our delivery to you this morning, I want you to get the document out that we had last week. We had passed out to you entitled Synchronizing Justification and Sanctification. And for those that don't have any, there are some in the back on that stand. Amen. I don't know how many are left, but such as there is. I want you to go to the second page of that document. Now, my aim and my purpose is the conveyance of information. And I know that in this forum we're supposed to be preaching, amen. Some say you teach, you don't really preach. Well, preaching, teaching, preaching, conveying information, the conveyance of information, amen. But you walk out of here with something spiritually inculcated into your mindset. Amen. Because there's something out there waiting on you.
Yes,
amen. And to stand against the vicissitudes of life, one must be thoroughly established and anchored in knowledge of one's secured position, because we are surrounded by all things in this world that are insecure. And in order for you to be secure while you're surrounded by insecurity, amen, it must be through the renewing of the minds. Amen. So whether you get emotional or get happy, I would think that once able to internalize this, it will effectuate the emotions. I know it blows me away sometimes just studying it and reading it and going through it and seeing as God has conveyed to us the glorious blessings that he bestowed upon us, going all the way back to eternity.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, before time, before he created us, he provided, he made all of these great provisions, and he, amen, settled and established our eternal state before he ever created us.
Yes,
isn't that something?
Yes,
amen.
Yes.
Huh? So, you know, regardless of what's going on, and problems. And of course, if you're anywhere between the womb and the tomb this morning, you're having problems.
Okay.
Amen. So it's no such thing, and I know Some of the ministry teach this free, that free, very free, amen, debt free. If you get enough of this, amen, it will reduce the word. Amen. If it doesn't wipe it out, it will at least arrest some, amen, portions of it, amen. And your mindset, your confidence will change. And you will, amen, begin to enjoy life, not based upon the effectuation of the things that you can see, touch, taste, smell, and physically connect with, but based on the essence of the Holy Spirit conveying to your spirit the glorious inheritance that we have in Christ Jesus. Amen. The supreme blessing that we, amen, enjoy and have as being members of His body. Oh my God, hallelujah. You're talking about happiness. You're talking, amen, about serenity and peace. If you're talking, amen, about blissfulness, amen, and not being moved and shaken by the things that come against you. Oh, hallelujah. I invite you this morning to dwell into the essence of what Christ has placed you, and that is in the glorious body of Christ, the church. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Now, we had moved down through, including verse 19, Brother Deacon. I know you got your Greek Bible, right? All right. And we had moved down to that verse, verse 20. I want to just touch verse 19 for 1 second, and then we'll move on into our discourse. Amen. Just in setting, amen, the understanding of that which is interconnected from verse 19 and verse 20. Amen. Brother Deacon, take your Greek book, and I pray that one day that we all have Greek Bibles here. Don't run to the bookstore and just grab one, because everything that's in that bookstore is not profitable. Amen. Amen. We're going to try to attempt to get the correct Greek Bibles according to the manuscripts that have been co-joined to an interlinear presentation of it, and we will hopefully, amen, as soon as we are able to, somehow in some way, I don't even know, as I stand here and speak, we'll be able to get these conveyed to everyone that's part of this ministry. But in the meantime, I want you to just, as they say in the CD world, the CB world, put your ears on. Listen to the reading, Brother Deacon, from the Greek now, because you've read from the King James. I want you to go to the 19th verse of Colossians, and based upon the structure and the grammatical setting, I want you to bridge that gap between the last phrase of verse 19 and the first phrase of verse 20. But read the entire 19th verse. Just don't stop. Amen. It's because they have. Remember now, the verses as far as the chapters, and we said the verses as they are numbered, that apportionment came by men. When you look at the Greek manuscripts, the original language which the Bible is written in, they're not divided into verses, and they're not divided into chapters. And it's good that they did it, because we're able to identify scripture by calling chapter and verse. But they didn't always apportion it according to the context of the manuscript. And this is very important, and we'll see in a minute as we move through this where we're going with this. Now, when you are reading our gospel that is the gospel of the grace of God, that is the contents of writings that are written to the church in the grace dispensation, I'm speaking about those epistles that are written by the Apostle Paul. You have conveyances both in the sphere of time and eternity. And sometimes you're into a verse and a portion of it will be, amen, speaking from the vantage point of time as a testimony. And then in that same verse sometime, it will be speaking from the vantage point of eternity of what God did in the sphere of before, amen, there was time. So it's very important that we understand this, and follow me now, that we'll be able to draw a line of distinction and a line of demarcation between actuation in eternity and manifestation in time. What is actualized is that which is real or when it comes into existence. And this is very important in understanding the conveyances here, because some things that are conveyed, amen, in the eternal stream. In other words, it is from the eternal vantage point. It is speaking about something that God did in eternity, amen, which when it comes to all of the spiritual blessings, it includes all of them. Amen. Justification, that is an eternal act. Sanctification, imputation. Yes, regeneration. They argue about whether regeneration occurs before faith, or whether faith occurs before regeneration, and that's a moot point because it's all in eternity. And even glorification, which hasn't been manifested to us yet, but oh, it's real. Amen. Because it has been actualized in the decree of God. Amen. This is why when the Bible speaks of it in some instances, like the 29th and 30th verse of the 8th chapter of Romans, when it speaks about being glorified, it is in the aorist tense. The aorist, in fact, it is an indicative aorist. Indicative mood is a fact, and the aorist tense is a past completed action. So you're speaking about a past completed action, glorification, which we haven't realized yet, but the realization of that which is spoken of is tied to the decree of God, which means that glorification has been actualized, it just hasn't been manifested. Alright? And so as we move through, amen, we must know when we're speaking from the vantage point of eternity and from the vantage point of time. Follow me, it'll be clear in a minute if it's not already. All right, Brother Deacon, read that 19th verse. You can go look in your King James as he is reading of the first chapter . All right, and remember now, everything that we have been conveying is to build up a knowledge base so that we can appreciate who the head of the body, who is Jesus Christ, is. What is the church? Many people think of it as an organization. We have an organized body here, which is the visible manifestation of the church, the Grace Gospel Church. But this is really not the church. The church, amen, is not a physical organization. It is a spiritual organism. The church, amen, is spiritual. You cannot see it. You cannot have, y'all don't hear me this morning. Amen. The church, amen, is a spiritual organism. The church is that which was established in eternity before time, where God selected designated ones according to his good pleasure, amen, according to his sovereign will, his sovereign grace, if you may.
Yeah.
And he placed such ones in as sons and positioned them in the body of Christ. That is the church.
Yes. Yes, amen.
And so as we read here, we see the testimony that all things are by him and for him, so that when we get to the body of Christ, amen, we're not reducing the role of Jesus, amen, I'm knowing that he is the creator of all things, Jesus being God. All right, but you can read that 19th verse. This is from the Greek text, and it's going to sound a little raw because he's reading directly from the Greek. And foreign languages, sometimes they put the verb in front of the pronouns sometimes they put the nouns, amen, in front of the articles. Sometimes you see the noun in front of the prepositions, amen. So instead of saying his, it would say, you say his love, it would say love of him, but it still means his love.
Right.
Amen. We just speak a little different, amen, in English. All right, read.
Colossians 1:19.
From
the Greek text.
All right.
Because in him
mm-hmm.
was well pleased.
Because he was well pleased.
All the fullness to dwell. And through him.
For all the fullness to dwell and through him. Or it can be conveyed for smooth English flow of conveyance that because
mm-hmm.
in him or because he was pleased
mm-hmm.
all
to
the fullness.
Yeah.
To dwell, or he was pleased for all the fullness to dwell in him and through him.
Yes.
He was pleased for all the fullness to dwell in him
mm-hmm.
and through him.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Here, as we look at this again, it speaks of when you say he was pleased. Here we have the Greek verb ephthokisin, it means that one is satisfied,
or
right. That, amen, which that all the requirements are there, amen. Everything that need be is, amen, which is saying that everything concerning life, amen, is invested in Jesus Christ.
Glory.
Are all things by God? Yes. Are all things by Christ? Yes. How, amen, do you reconcile that statement? The way you reconcile it is that Jesus is God.
Oh, yes.
So it pleased God, it pleased Jesus, all that dwells in him, and everything does dwell in him. Amen. That's very important as we now move to the 20th verse. All right. From the Greek text. Brother Deacon, read that. Read it just like it is. Don't try to, make it. Right. Don't try to convert.
All right. Verse 20. And through him to reconcile all things to him. Making peace through the blood of the cross of him.
Mm-hmm.
Through him, whether the things on the earth
mm-hmm.
or the things in the heavens.
All right. Now, we are dealing from two vantage points this morning as we convey, amen, the message. Here in that one verse, it is speaking from both the eternal vantage point of heaven, that is in eternity, and the earthly dwelling place of manifestation, which is in time, which is in creation, which is where we are on February the 6th, 2005.
Yeah.
Amen. But when the conveyance is basically presented here, they're not in the area of where we sit. Most of them in our gospel are from the plateau of where God, amen, has actualized all things. In other words, the Lord has allowed us to sit where he sat, and from his vantage point, see all the eternal workings of God. And time is just a little dot in there somewhere. Oh, Lord, hallelujah. And if you understand that, then on any given day when something goes down, something goes wrong, it doesn't wipe you out. Amen. When you look at this thing, amen, I like the expression Mother Nelson uses sometimes when we're talking, and she says, oh, it's going to be all right.
Amen.
Speaking from the vantage point of time, but that has to be based upon what? The vantage point of eternity. Knowing that in the end, that whatever is happening today is just an incident on our way to our eternal existence in the body of Christ. And so you don't have to have a bunch of bad days. In fact, if you really get this thing and get it internalized, amen, you'll have very few bad days. Now, I'm not saying you won't have any problems.
Come on.
I'm saying the problems won't make you have a bad day.
Thank
huh? And I like how the King James expresses it. They say, and it came to pass.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it happened. Whatever's going down, it comes and then it passes. Amen. Some things that we thought were going to kill us.
Yes,
we didn't think we were going to get through the day.
Amen.
We didn't think we would make it to tomorrow. Amen. But you're here, aren't you?
Here.
Aren't you here? Amen. But these are just, amen, occurrences and incidents that God has planned and purposed in your life as you walk through, as you journey through. Amen. Oh, my God. That from eternity we'll be able to look back and say, oh, look what God has done.
Glory to God. Thank you, Lord.
Now, in that 21st, it reads, beginning with the second phrase, the arena of which, and from the Greek, it is rendered, having made peace through the blood of his cross and through him. But I didn't go back and read, pass that through him now on the first leg and go back. Because we want to show how that works out. And someone said, well, Pastor, why you get so technical? You know, I could sit up here and tell you things, and I could say, this means that.
Mm-hmm.
What does that really mean? Mm-hmm. So, well, I trust you, Pastor. I trust if you say it is true. A whole lot of people trusted a whole lot of ministers and end up in a whole lot of trouble.
Yeah.
What I'm interested in is that you see through Bible exegesis.
All right.
Through correct, let me put an adjective in there. Through correct Bible exegesis.
Yes.
How we come up with what is there. Because many times what is conveyed in King James and some of the other translation is not there. That thing is reading wrong. And a lot of opinions and impressions we have gotten is because we read it wrong. Oh, I'm just talking to you this morning. But oh, if there's anything that I pray that the Lord, amen, will indelibly impress upon your minds and your spirits, it is the importance of Bible exegesis. If you ever get that, then you'll be able to open this Bible and get the correct conveyances, and you won't have to depend upon nobody's commentary. I don't care who they are. I don't care how famous they are. Amen. Any of us can be off on any day. You, amen, are better off if you learn to exegete these scriptures yourself. To understand what is being conveyed. And so when we look at this verse this morning, we are looking at an arena that focuses on the earthly manifestation of the eternal workings of God in the sphere of time. Notice, having made peace through the blood. Having made peace through the blood. When did he make peace through the blood? Most of us, when we read that, our mind goes back 2,000 years ago.
Absolutely.
To Calvary.
Amen. Amen.
Which brings up a question.
Yeah.
If there was no peace, actuation-wise, through the blood, then how in the world was God able to forbear and put up with the sins of all those that lived before he went to Calvary? How, in other words, how did God go into the Garden of Eden after Adam had messed all the way up and have mercy rather than kill him? Because what did he say? The day that you eat of this fruit, what? You're dead. You history. You're toast, as they say. Huh?
Amen.
But historically speaking, we know from the scriptures that instead of going in there and slaying him, he went in there and he saved him.
Sure did.
He showed mercy. And, oh, thank God for his mercy. Aren't you glad for mercy this morning?
Yeah.
Aren't you glad for mercy? And then all the way down through the annals of history. Amen. You see, Abraham. You know, you say, well, Abraham was perfect, and that's why God. No, he wasn't. No, he wasn't. That's the same fellow that went down into to the land, and he didn't like what he saw. Didn't resemble what he thought God said it would be, and he took off down in Egypt, got in trouble there, and told a big lie to try to save his neck. He said that Sarah was his sister, not his wife. Same man. Who later, God said, you know, I'm going to give you a son. And so he brings in the handmaiden. He said, well, Sarah did it. No, Abraham was the boss.
Yeah.
The buck
yeah.
has to stop at the top. Amen. And so up comes Ishmael. And God didn't promise. The promise was not, amen, the covenant that he made with him was not to come through Ishmael, it was to come through Isaac, and ultimately, amen, through the lineage to Christ.
Yes.
Amen. And this is why, amen, of course, all of this is in the decree of God. You have kinfolk, the Arabs and the Jews, that are in conflict to this very hour.
Yes, indeed.
So we can't say Abraham was perfect. Moses said, well, see, no, the Lord, Moses was a great man, and so forth. Everybody you can bring up, amen, they messed up. David messed up. He said, well, not Joseph. Joseph messed up. Everybody. It don't matter who, amen. You don't see anyone perfect. Right? This is so important, amen. But what the fact of the matter is that you must place the making of peace through the blood, amen, in the eternal sphere.
Glory, yes.
So God had the blood of Jesus available to him when he went into, amen, the garden and saved Adam.
Glory.
Well, I said, oh no, it's one. The blood wasn't shed 2,000 years ago. Amen. And that is, we were dealing with in the Bible class the other night, that word shed is used there. Amen. It actually means poured out. It speaks of that which is metaphorically in the spiritual vein, not in the physical vein. Amen. We think of the shedding of blood, of physical blood coming out to, but of course, amen, he poured out, amen, his mercy and his love upon us. It is in the spiritual vein, amen, and that which is in the spiritual vein, amen, is in the spiritual realm. And so you go over into Revelations, and it teaches us that the Lamb of God was slain before the foundation of the world. Amen. Amen. God always had the blood of Jesus available. He had to, amen, but he elected you and called you, amen, and chose you and positioned you and placed you and baptized you and sanctified you and glorified you in the body of Christ. He could have done it if the blood of Jesus wasn't available. So we have to look at this thing where, from the vantage point of God, Paul in the third chapter of Romans, he comes and he speaks of him being just and the justified. Amen. And we completely miss that because our focus is on time. Amen. What is taught is that God did all the planning in eternity and did all the work in time. No. He planned it, he implemented it, and he completed it in eternity and placed it in decrees. And those things that are in time are there solely for the purpose of manifestation, every occurrence. Remember this, everything that's going down in your life, and you must understand this to even know how to pray. Because sometimes we're praying for things.
Come on.
And we don't understand why God doesn't come and, amen, and comply with our requests. But see, amen, you're trying to put the cart before the horse.
Right.
We think that God makes daily decisions. He's up there looking to see how serious you are, or how good you are being, how much you've sacrificed before he's going to decide whether he's going to do it. No, that's backwards. It's already done. Everything that can happen, will happen, is to happen manifestation-wise, has happened because it's been decreed by God.
Glory.
Yes, that's called predestination, and some people hate that word. God doesn't ever wake up, well, he doesn't never sleep, but amen. When we wake up in the morning, we don't ever have to say, wonder what God's going to do today. We can say, wonder what we're going to do. Because see, we're locked into February the 6th, 2005. God's not locked in it.
God,
he created time.
Yes, he did.
And if he created time, he necessarily had to create. If time is a creation, then all the events of time would necessarily have to follow as creation.
Yes. Preach it.
That was predestinated.
Preach it. Thank God. Thank God.
So I pray as your will is done. Some people, they don't want me to pray for them. Because, yeah. You see, you put your petition in there. And yes, it is an order for you to petition God.
That's right. Yeah.
For what you want. Before you end that prayer, your will is done.
That's right.
Because guess what? It's going to be done. It's going to be done that way. Some people, you know, they want something and they want it so bad. And many of these ministries take advantage of that.
Yeah.
They have people come in every week farming these prayer lines. For the same old ailment, That big toe that's been bothering you. And it's, I'm not leaving here today till I get my blessing. In other words, Lord, I'm sitting down on you. I'm a strike and I ain't moving till you bless me. And what they do, they go into the kingdom gospel and don't. And again, the way the King James and other translations have it makes you think, amen, that God responds to what you do. In other words, we do something and then God responds. Put God in the role, amen, of a reactor. God is not a reactor. Everything that He has done, amen, everything that He will do, He has done.
Yes.
If you don't understand that,
glory to God.
And sometimes we're praying for, we mean to understand what the Lord is saying. What?
No.
So He didn't answer my prayer. In fact, sometimes the Lord said more than no. As He told Paul one time, He said, "Paul, leave that thing alone."
Yeah, sure did. Sure did.
Not too long ago, as the Lord said to me, He said, "Leave that thing alone."
Yeah.
Huh? Not going to happen that way. Because I've already decreed it. It's already happened. So why am I continuing to pray for something to happen that's already happened? Amen. And God has allowed me to see and know that, amen, what He has decreed and what He has determined is the way it's going to be. It may not be the way I like it, amen, but that's the way it is. You see, faith is not given for you to believe God to carry out your wishes. Faith is given to you, amen, to believe and accept, amen, and have confidence and peace concerning His wishes. So you're not believing God for what you want. You're believing God for what He wants. What's wrong, amen, with what God wants? What's wrong with constantly? We're so, oh my God, we've been so programmed and brainwashed that everything revolves around us. And my friends, nothing revolves around you or me. Everything revolves around Him. And it's not just about Him, it's all about Him. So when you read this, it is speaking about manifestation, and so it reads, beginning with all things to Himself, Brother Deacon, to reconcile all things.
Out of verse 20, to reconcile all things to Himself.
Mm-hmm.
Making peace through the blood of the cross of Him.
All right. Now, where if you look at that, you will think that the action is occurring at the cross, and this is what we're taught. When in actuality, the manifestation of the action is occurring at the cross.
All right. Make it plain, Pastor. Make it plain.
Follow me here. In this view, as we look strictly from time, sin produced a barrier of enmity between God and all that had been created through Christ. And that's a fact. Everybody's on the same page there. The cross, where Jesus shed His blood in death, manifestation-wise, as a result of assuming the elect sin, manifestation-wise, is the basis for supplanting the animosity with peace, manifestation-wise. Because otherwise, you've got to come up with a doctrine to cover yourself. And we were taught that Adam and Abraham and Enoch and Moses and Elijah and all of the prophets died looking toward Calvary. No such thing. They never heard of it. And we're further taught that in that respect, the blood of Jesus had to be retroactive and reach all the way back to Adam. A lot of people preached that before I knew any better.
Yes.
If you're standing in the spot of time, that's all you're going to see. But God has given us the ability to look and see the whole spectrum of God's work. Amen. So in this sense, give me about 10 minutes here. Remember, we started a little late. Man's sin brought forth the wrath of God before him. It's in time. However, in assuming his sin with his, that's man's sin with his wrath, Christ made provision to men to be reconciled, and this is where they use the infinitive here, amen, and of course we have to be careful with infinitives because, amen, in the Greek it's hard to bring them over into the English. Infinitive, when you express something, you said to be. In English, we have what we call gerunds, and we express them as being. So many times we take the to be and put it over into being. But then we run into problems when the to be is a past completed action. So as we stand and we look at the work of Jesus, in assuming his sin, our sins, and looking at the provisions, to be reconciled is to be expressed from the vantage point of time. The fact, amen, that we were always reconciled,
always,
amen.
Always.
You have to go all the way back to eternity where God elected us and chose us. There's no way he could have elected you and chose you and placed you into the body and then you're not reconciled.
Absolutely not. No way.
So you have to look at this thing from the vantage point that it is being spoken. So then when we have the participle, pieces, rendered having made peace, it is in the aorist tense, past completed action, it becomes apparently clear that the substitutionary death of Jesus that we view on the cross as rectifying the offense and resulting in our peace actually occurred in a previous vein, that is in eternity. And if you read and exegete correctly Romans chapter 5 verses 9 and 10, it brings it out, which we don't have time to do this morning. Hence, as I close, manifestation wise, Christ's blood, which was shed upon Calvary's cross, is manifestation wise now, it is sufficient to reconcile all things in the universe. I didn't say it would, I say it is sufficient. And as we look at the last phrase of this verse here, it is, and I'm going to just give you the literal reading, ite ta epitis yis ite ta is tis uranis. It is rendered, were the things upon the earth are things in the heaven. Now basically, there's only one way to view the things in heaven, and that is from the eternal vertical viewpoint. You're crazy if you think God is up in heaven now reconciling someone. If he rested from his work on earth, yet he's still working in heaven. Think about that. Well, we think that because we think that things originate on earth, and then based upon what we do on earth, amen, that determines what happens in heaven. Mm-hmm. One of the greatest injustices of the King James, and I'm not picking on Brother James, but the King James, is that scripture that says, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you bind on in heaven shall be, whatever you loose in earth shall be loosed in heaven, and what you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. When the thing actually reads the opposite, when you exegete that correctly, it says the things that are loosed on earth, they have already been loosed in heaven. And the things that are bound on earth have already been bound in heaven. So the action comes from above down, not from below up. So you have two spheres here, the things in heaven and the things on earth. So the bottom line is that all is reconciled to him, and it has been from the beginning. Thus our union is in with Christ, our righteousness, wherein we are perfectly mortified as having been planted when in eternity in the fellowship of his death. When did he die? In eternity. Embodied in his transformed spiritual nature. All spiritual workings that Paul speaks of, that he says, high praise to the Father of our Lord God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, who having blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies, in Christ. In Christ. Now, we did not get to our document, but take that document home with you, which we are, hopefully we'll wind that up next week. Amen. Just, you know, if y'all gave me a couple of hours to preach on Sunday morning, I could get through some of this stuff. Somebody's laughing. But The synchronization of justification and sanctification is based upon one understanding that all spiritual blessings have already occurred. So you don't have to be, you don't have to try to be sanctified or try to be saved. You already are. And whatever you think about your salvation, It works right down into time. If you're shaky and a little doubtful about your salvation, then everything touching life is going to be one big question mark. And this is why we spend time focusing on the essence of who we are in Christ. Amen. Dealing with the salvation aspect, yes, of who we are in Christ. Glory. Both justification and sanctification. Glory. And every other spiritual blessing are in the eternal realm. Amen. He elected you before he created you. Glory. He justified you before he created you. He sanctified you. See, sanctification, how can you choose someone, which is election, and if sanctification is separating and setting them apart, how can you choose someone without setting them apart? The very fact that you choose them sets them apart. So these are all eternal workings of God. Amen. And if you understand this, we know that we're complete in Christ, according to the power and efficacy of his working, of his mighty work, as I might say, in this mystical union, comprise this virtue in our behalf. Thus, the believer is a party to a twofold condition, one totally spiritual and the other by association identity. So what we are doing, We're seeking through the Word of God to identify what He has already done and already accomplished and already brought to pass. Amen. So when that test, whatever it is, and there's something waiting for every one of us this week, we just don't know what it is yet. when it comes, amen, whatever day it is, look at that date and say, this is just something that is happening on my way to my eternal position in Christ. And whatever it is, amen, I'm not going to let it wipe me out, because I'm secure, I'm safe, because I'm a member of the glorious body of Christ, the church. We shall continue next week.